we will do this the hard way. That's just, that has to be the path, you know, right now. We're going to rest up, treat up, rally around each other up, get ready for Friday. And again, embrace these competitive games.
Eric Spoelstra talking about the NBA play-in game tonight for the Heat as they will take on the Bulls without Jimmy Butler. Welcome to Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. And lots to get to here today on the show. Some interesting items on our topic list. We'll see how we sprinkle them all in. The final two playoff spots will be secure tonight in the NBA with the final games of the play-in tournament. In the East, it's the Heat hosting the Bulls at 6 o'clock on ESPN. The winner getting the 8th seed in a first-round matchup with the best team in basketball record-wise, the Boston Celtics. Miami will be without Jimmy Butler, suffered MCL injury in the play-in game the other night. He is expected to miss several weeks should Miami advance. In the nightcap, the Pelicans welcome the Kings in the Western Conference. Tip-off 8:30 on TNT. Winner will move on to face the top-seeded Thunder. The loser is done. The playoffs, the actual playoffs, get underway on Saturday. Tomorrow in the East, the Cavs host the Magic game 1 at noon. Sixers are at the Knicks at 5 o'clock. That's a battle of the 7 versus the 2. The Knicks have home court there. In the West, the T-Wolves welcome the Suns at 2:30. I think that'll be an interesting series. The T-Wolves are 3, the Suns are 6. But the Suns are loaded with stars, and the T-Wolves have a guy that may take the league by storm. He's already a really good player, and Anthony Edwards may become the best player in the league here in a few years. And at 7:30, defending champion Nuggets host the Lakers in Game 1. All those games coming up tomorrow. Learn more, go online, NBA.com. Coming up, another boys basketball coach is stepping down in the North Central Activity Association. Are there any coaches left in the league? College hoops, Bill Self wasn't joking when he said that that'll never happen again, as he has hit the portal hard. He picks up another guy in the portal. The Royals are back in action, and the NHL is moving one of their franchises, and the hockey playoffs get underway this weekend as well. My Seattle Kraken, I'm a very, very astute Kraken fan, and I have been following them absolutely not very well all year long, and I discovered yesterday that they won their final game of the season. I'm like, cool, what seed are we in the playoffs? And I realized that we did not make the playoffs. And I say we because, once again, I'm an astute, diehard, number one fan of the Seattle Kraken Fan Club in North Central Kansas. I am also the not only the president, but I'm the vice president, treasurer, and I'm the only member of the Seattle Kraken Fan Club here in North Central Kansas. And I just discovered that my Kraken will not be in postseason play after making a great run last year in their second year of existence. So disappointed by that. So I guess I'll look up and see who is in the playoffs so I can share with you, the diehard hockey fans out there, about all of that. But first, we hand it off to Dusty with some local sports.
Yeah, quite a bit, actually, going on locally here. Spring sports all crammed into about a month and a half, so a lot goes on during these months and weeks. So the Beloit Golf Invitational yesterday, Beloit winning their home Invitational with 362, 20 strokes better as a team than Smith Center, who finished in second at 382. Sacred Heart third, Osmond was fourth. Individually, Jennings Sloan of Beloit took first place, 85 on the day, four strokes ahead of Brody Sadler's of Smith Center, who shot an 89 and finished second. Grant Larson of Beloit was third. Luke Cheney was fourth for Beloit. And Dawson Lance of Austin finished in fifth place. You can find the full results for the Beloit Invitational at ncksports.com. Baseball on Thursday, games moved to Salina as Beloit they split with Southeast of Saline. They had a good lead in the first game of 5-2, but Southeast scored 7 in the bottom of the fifth and won 9-5 in the first game, but Beloit getting a 9-0 shutout in game 2, as the Trojans are now 9-5 on the season, Beloit Trojans, and 4-2 in the NCAA here this season.
I just want to chime in here. Okay. So I was there at that game, and Beloit played really well, and then the wheels came off in the bottom of the fifth inning. They just made some errors, so forth. That happened sometimes. Time to time. Second game, they shut him out 9-0. And Beloit Athletic Director Kyle Beisner made me stay up all night long looking up this little nugget. He said after the game was over, "When was the last time Beloit shut out Southeast Saline in baseball?"
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, you know I'm going to try to figure this out, don't
you? You asked.
And he started laughing. And I said, you know, I'm just going to notify you. I hope your phone is turned on at 4:30 in the morning when I call you and tell you what the answer is. But the funny thing is, I didn't look it up. I haven't done anything on that. And I slept very well last night. So nice try, Kyle. But maybe if I have time, I may still try to look that up.
The problem is, like, you know, our records only go so far
back. I know.
So
I don't know if it's even within the records we've had. Yeah. I don't know if it's happened, to be honest with you, since we've been here.
Because they've always got it pretty good baseball team.
Yes.
Southeast does. So.
Yeah, and they do score one run to avoid being shut out.
Exactly.
You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to act like I did all my research. Kyle, it has never been done.
Never been done,
first
as
time,
far as my knowledge is
first
concerned.
Time Beloit's ever shut out Southeastlean in a baseball game at the varsity level. That was a first mistake. Just run with it. People will believe it. People
believe anything.
If you say, if people believe
just put
anything.
It on the internet. Don't even say
if
it.
You
and then they'll
it,
really believe
if
it.
If you put on the internet on like established resources like Twitter and Facebook, everybody knows that everything you read on there is true. So I'm going to go ahead and post it there. Then I will read it from Twitter and Facebook on the air, claim that that is the source, which it would be. And all you got to do is, you got to just say something with strong enough conviction for people to believe it. And in some cases, you don't even have to, you can be actually joking and pulling somebody's leg and they'll believe it.
Yeah.
And that's called being gullible. But I do not know for sure if Beloit has ever shut out Southeastlean in a boys baseball game at the varsity level in high school or not. But I slept well, and I did not look it up. So, sorry, Kyle.
Yeah.
I'm sure Kyle was up all night wondering when I was going to get in touch with him. But
yeah, he probably was.
Yeah. But, Beloit hasn't beat Southeastlean very often in baseball. And so getting a split was still good, but they really probably should have won both.
Mm-hmm. On the softball side of things, Southeast got the sweep of Beloit there last night. That was actually in Gypsum as Southeast won 7-2 in the first game and 14-4-6 in the second game. Letty Trojans have had a tough schedule here this year. They're 8-5 and 4-2 in the NCAA so far this season. Other baseball games yesterday, Kinsley sweeping Sylvan Lucas Lincoln 8-6 in the first game and 15-4-5 in game two. And Sylvan Lucas softball was taking on Republic County at home. Republic County won the first game 11-5. And Sylvan Lucas took game two 10-9. So that's a look at what happened yesterday. Again, full results and schedules at ncksports.com. The Beloit softball team back on the field today, hosting Plainville this afternoon at 4 o'clock. And also in track and field, the Kaiser Relays at Osborne today at 3 o'clock. Lakeside, Osborne, St. John's, Tipton, Rock Hills, Thunder Ridge, Southern Cloud, and Sylvan Lucas competing from the area there. And then the Smith Center Beloit teams will be at the Phillipsburg Invitational at 3 o'clock this afternoon in track and field. And the Beloit track and field team this afternoon features our Athlete of the Week from ncksports.com and Cunningham Fiber, as Beloit senior Ashlyn Knight has been named our Athlete of the Week. She's excelled in track and field so far this spring, bringing home a combined 9 medals from the 4 meets so far throughout April. She's claimed 6 gold medals, 3 individually, 3 on the 4x100-meter relay team, and also has 2 silver medals and a bronze medal to her credit. This past Tuesday at the Belleville Lions Club Invitational, Knight brought home the gold in the 100-meter dash in the upper division girls race and also helped the 4x100-meter relay team to a gold medal. Tuesday, April 9th at Smith Center, she accomplished the same feats, winning the 100 and helping the 4x1 to a season-best time of 51.74 on their way to the gold. And then she also took first place in the 100-meter dash at the Clay Center meet on April 2nd, her season-best time of 12.99. She claimed second in the javelin at that meet as part of the the 4x100-meter relay. They took second place. And her other medal this season, a third place finish in the 100 at Concordia on April 4th. So Ashlyn Knight, again, a solid start to the season, and she is our ncksports.com Cunningham Fiber Athlete of the Week this week. If you would like to know more about the Athlete of the Week, you can visit ncksports.com. And yeah, one final local note. The exodus that we talked about of boys basketball coaches in the North Central Activities Association, as Minneapolis will have a new boys basketball coach next year. Brett Rolfs of Ellsworth resigned earlier this week, as did Bryson Flax of Southeast of Saline, and now Minneapolis coach John Darrow stepping down after 24 seasons coaching at Minneapolis. He spent the first 15 of those leading the girls team, and for the past 9 years, he's been the boys coach there at Minneapolis. Tyler Henry of Salina Post reported this first, and he said that Darrow's actually going to finish up the school year, and he's retiring. So not just resigning, but he also retiring from his teaching positions. So Minneapolis will be looking for a new coach. Darrow compiled a record of 75-114 in his time there with the Minneapolis boys program. The best stretch was a 42-21 mark from 2018 to 2021. So again, John Darrow stepping down at Minneapolis as the boys head coach.
Coach Darrow's always been very, very professional, very easy to get along with. Coach Darrow's been one of my favorite coaches outside of our immediate, coverage area that I've talked with over the years. And so wish him nothing but the best of luck. This is a sports ticket brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive and Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. I'm gonna talk about this, and you may say, well, does this really pertain to sports? It does. It does. It's not fully sports, but it does. But I think we have a little bit of time to talk about it. And then coming up here in a little bit, we'll talk about KU and Bill Self and what they're doing with the transfer portal. And we'll talk a little Royals baseball and some hockey as well. But if you didn't hear earlier on our news this morning, after much discussion, various meetings, and much consternation, the Beloit USD 273 school bond issue and vote came to a conclusion yesterday. Question one on the ballot included for voters to consider was a new ag center, a renovation of expansion of Woods Construction Tech, HVAC replacement elementary, junior, senior high schools, a new stadium press box and restrooms at an estimated cost of $16.2 million, which would be funded by a 13.5 mil levy over increase over 25 years. Unofficial results from the Mitchell County Clerk's Office for the following. For question one, there were 2,248 votes that were cast. Yes votes only got 37%, 823 yes votes. No was 63%, 1,425. So overwhelmingly resounding defeat there for question one. Question two was even worse. Question two on the ballot could only pass if question one passed. So when question one failed, there was really no need to count anything on question two, but they did anyway, because that's what they're supposed to do. Question two on the ballot, and this is where the sports ties in for the most part. Question two on the ballot included for voters to consider was a junior, senior high school locker room renovation, football field, turf, track resurface, tennis court resurface. Estimated cost of $3.8 million, which would be funded by a 3 mil levy increase over 25 years. Unofficial results from the Mitchell County Clerk's Office are the following for question two. 2,241 votes were cast. Only 29% of those votes were yeses, 644 total. 71% of those votes were noes, 1,597. So it's back to the drawing board, or whatever the school district is going to do moving forward. I think that's the first question when you see this being voted down. And it's not even close. And it surprises me from this standpoint. I was asked a lot of things. This whole bond issue, I can now feel a little bit more comfortable talking about it now that it's at least the vote is over and everything. Whether people want to spend the time and come back and put together another vote, whether it's a mail-in ballot or if you go to the polls and there's another bond issue, sometimes you have to revamp, revise, and do it multiple times for it to actually get done. It could take years for it to get done. Sometimes it eventually gets done. There are some people that have said, listen, this is the only time we're doing this. This is a one-time deal. Some people don't believe that. They're like, well, if that's the case, well, then I'm going to have to vote yes or no based on the one-time deal, whether it's going to be refurbished, reconfigured. But one thing's for sure, some of the stuff has to be addressed, whether the bond issue passed or not. Uh-huh. Now the question for Beloit USD 273 is, the HVAC needs to be done. There's not a single person I've heard that's disagreed with that. Mm-hmm. That has to be done at some point. Now, where the funding's going to come from, you know, how's that all going to work? I don't know. I would imagine that's going to be something that needs to be addressed pretty soon instead of putting Band-Aids on things. The last bond situation for Beloit, I believe, oh, goodness gracious, I think it was there in the 70s, wasn't it? 75, 72, something like that.
I don't know the exact year, but it was in the 70s.
And people talk about the new school. They say, hey, call it the new school. It was built in 75.
Yeah.
So, listen, if that's a new school, I'm new. I'm a newborn, and I was born a year later, 1976. So I've had, and I know you probably have too, but me probably more so than you because I live in Beloit. Uh-huh. And I've got kids that go to Beloit, and full disclosure, my wife works for the school district in Beloit. So I had people like, well, why aren't you doing this with this? And why? Because, you know, you got people on the no side that are like, why don't you do more of this and as a radio station? And from the yes side, I really didn't hear too much, you know. And it was like, you know, listen, first of all, I can go ahead and give you my opinion. We have a staff of two. You can call this excuse all you want, but we do have a life. And for crying out loud, every night I have a freaking baseball practice or game. I don't even have any time to do anything for myself, mm-hmm. let alone go cover a meeting where people are upset with each other, pointing fingers at each other, accusing people of things. And in many cases, for people that I know, that I trust, including my wife, who was one meeting, there was a lot of really bad information out there. And first of all, I'll just give you a quick example of how much BS, just one small example, okay? Because what happened with this bond issue, when I heard, I don't know when it was, well before it was going to be on the, have a ballot, my immediate initial thought, I'm just being completely honest. My initial thought was, I don't know if this is good timing. Now, that wasn't to, that's not trying to be mean to anybody. It was my first initial reaction because I already knew of drought that we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. Crops are not, haven't done very well here last year or so. And then, of course, you've got the, your Mitchell County has high taxes. There is nobody that can deny that. Mm-hmm. So trust me, me and everybody else that lives there has complained about taxes at one point or another, more than likely. So it's high in taxes there, and there are other communities that have high taxes too, but Mitchell County is high in taxes. Our property taxes are very high. I can give you an example. I know this for a fact because I can't give too much out here until I officially want to announce things on air about what's going on in my life. But I can tell you that that a house that's valued at $150,000 more in another community is only a little bit more in taxes than that house that's $150,000 less here. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm not trying to say anything mean about anybody. Again, that's just those that's a fact.
Yeah.
That's a fact. And you know, I was talking with somebody that that was from Russell at one point in time, and they were talking about how their taxes were going to keep going up, and then with you know, if oil wasn't doing well and so forth, because a lot of people have oil, and you know, if that, all that goes south, the next thing you know, you have people that leave your community, and you want to keep your same budget, because listen, city and county commissioners and city governments, local governments, and state governments and federal governments clearly don't want to spend less money. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I should backtrack. There are people that try to keep things in line budget-wise, or they try, I shouldn't even say budget-wise, they try to maybe save money to where they could lower the budget or lower the cost and the burden on taxpayers. But what really typically happens, and we definitely see it at the state and the national level and the federal level, and I think we've seen it at the local level in certain places, is people say, I want my taxes to go down. And then you say, okay, well, this is what you're going to lose. Well, I don't want to lose that. Well, then what do you want us to do? Because we have to cut something. If you want your taxes to go down, we've got to spend less. And so if we have, so we got to revise our budget. So perhaps the streets won't get fixed, or the potholes won't get fixed, or, you know, the maintenance on the pool won't be as good, or we won't fix the sidewalks that we're going to do, or whatever it might be, right? Whatever, some kind of water treatment plant or electrical transformation grid restructuring, whatever it is. And so when you have less people, and people do move away, or you don't add in more people, and costs continue to go up, but people want their taxes to go down, but nobody's willing to cut any programs or cut this or cut that, or people that are in elected positions like to spend other people's money and don't spend it wisely and spend it inefficiently, then what happens is that when you have less people to pull from, but you want to maintain the tax base of the money you spend and don't want to cut your budget or feel you can't, guess what happens? You now have to spread out that budget over less people. When there's less people, what happens?
You've got to pay more.
You got to pay more.
Yeah.
Or you decide to move out of town and you go somewhere else. And that doesn't have to be the number one reason why you move, is because of property taxes. There could be other reasons that you move. There could be many reasons why you stay. But with the whole bond issue, what happened here, and this is disturbing, and it is sad, but there became a lot of things that were said that became negative. There were things that were put out there that I can tell you very, very assertively that were completely inaccurate. And I'll give you one small, tiny example. So I had somebody that texted me saying, "Whoa, that must have been a heck of a meeting. It was. I heard it got so out of control that they just stopped the meeting abruptly and it was over." And right away, I'm like, "Bull blip, BS." I know for a fact that's crap. You know why? Because my wife was there, and my wife isn't going to lie about this. They had already set, this is one meeting, they had already set a time limit and said that they'd be done, I believe it was 8 o'clock. Mm. We're going to be done at 8 o'clock no matter what. Get your questions. Don't go rambling on for half an hour before answering a question. You get your question. Be precise. Ask it. We'll answer all the questions we possibly can. But, you know, you got this much time. It's called a time limit. Because if you didn't put a time limit, sometimes these things could go on for hours upon hours. Yeah. You know, people do have other things to do in their life, and they have children. They have other things to worry about, right? Or caretakers. So going into this meeting, people already knew, if they had been paying attention, that there was a time limit on the meeting. But somehow somebody spread a rumor, which is complete crap, about how the meeting got so out of hand that they just cut off the meeting abruptly at 8 o'clock. Were you there? Because I know somebody, my wife, who was there, and that is complete and utter bullcrap. But that's how misinformation gets strung out there. And then people start coming to me saying, did you hear? I'm like, no, I didn't hear that, because I know what's true and you apparently do not. And now you're spreading it like it's fact. And you maybe should have double checked talk to a couple people. So that's just a small, tiny little example. If that information is being strung out inaccurately, imagine what else is, right?
Yeah.
Now, having said that, I'm not sitting here telling you that concerns were exaggerated. I'm not telling you that I didn't have my own concerns as a taxpayer. All I'm saying is I don't think we needed this thing to go the way it did. And I will say there is always, in order to have any kind of conflict, there has to be two sides involved. Okay? I'm not pointing fingers at all. I want people to understand this. Now, anybody that put anything out there that was inaccurate or misleading, those are the people I'm talking about right now. And that can be from both sides of any issue that you deal with in life. Okay? If you're talking about the local neighbor that's getting a divorce, and what you don't know is they're just separated and they're not getting a divorce, but you go spreading around they're getting a divorce, you're not helping anything. And it's none of your damn business anyway, right? Like, I heard something locally about a neighbor of mine the other day, and I'm like, why in the hell do you care? Yeah. You don't even talk to them. You don't even reach out to them. You don't even talk to them. You don't care. But then suddenly there's something happening in your life, and then you go around telling people like you talk to that person every day. You're a fraud. You're fake. You're making up crap. Why? Because it makes you feel bigger and better because you have information that somebody else doesn't have. And guess what? Your information, I know for a fact, is wrong because I actually talked to that person. That's really, it's going in a horrible direction. So when you get a situation with this bond issue, there is no doubt that there was this divisiveness during this whole campaign in regards to people doing this, people doing that. And there was accusations, allegations, whatever you want to call them, from both sides, blaming each other, pointing fingers here, saying this, saying that. Some believe that they have a good case against the other side as to, yeah, I know they did this. And the other says, well, I know you did this. And it's like, dear Lord, could we just stop? As I talked to somebody that actually walked into this radio station, and I had a great conversation with this person, all right? And I'm not going to sit here and say that I agreed with everything that he said, and I'm sure he didn't agree with everything I said. But what the great thing was, him and I actually, in this studio, had a conversation. Mm-hmm. And I listened to him, and I believe he listened to me. And we had some common ground, but we also had some other things, that, and I'm guessing he might have voted differently than I did, okay? But I understood where he was coming from. So we're talking about this on the sports ticket because it did involve a lot of sports things, okay? And here's the thing for small town America. And it's kind of a double-edged sword. It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because I think it is absolutely legitimate, both sides, to say these things. I totally understand both sides presenting this argument, okay? One argument is, if our taxes keep going up and up and up and out of control, people aren't going to move here because it's too costly to live here.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a fair point. That is a fair point. Mm-hmm. The flip side that the other side can argue, probably the people that were for the yes side, could argue and say is, okay, you may be right about that, but if you don't reinvest in your schools and you don't fix the infrastructure and do this and the HVAC system or whatever else, if you don't do these things with your school and just let them fall apart and get dilapidated, or you put Band-Aids on everything, you know what the first thing most families look at when they are thinking about moving to a town? What's the first thing they look into?
School system.
The school system. So I understand the one side saying, well, I don't want higher taxes, and I'm not for this, and our high taxes are already keeping people from not moving here. Okay, and that might be true to a point. And I understand the other side saying, listen, if you don't invest in your schools, the same damn thing's going to happen. People ain't going to be coming here because the schools are not very good. They'll go somewhere else. I can tell you that my family has had to look into school situations. That's the first thing you know what my first concern was when we moved from Seneca to here? And I had a kid who was a baby. You know, one of my first concerns, I didn't have a kid going to school yet. One of my first concerns was, how are the schools?
Yeah.
And now, even more so, because my kids are older. So it's a double-edged sword, because I get why this side says, well, if you don't invest in the schools, people may not come here. And I understand other people saying, well, if you keep raising our taxes, and that's going to make it harder for people to come here, and it's going to be harder for people to buy houses, harder for people to invest and do this and start businesses. Listen, you know, both sides can be right. That's what I want to get across. Both sides can be right. Both sides can be wrong on various things as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of misinformation out there, or people spreading misinformation. And then there was also some other things that I didn't think was handled quite right on both sides in regards to how some of these things were out there. And I have a right to that opinion. You can sit here and go, oh, no, he's tearing down. No, I'm not tearing down anybody. I'm just sitting here as a taxpayer, all right, that lives in Beloit. And this is just a small example. Like I'm talking about the Beloit bond issue, but there have been a many bond issues with school districts here the last few years across the state of Kansas. In fact, this has happened for years. And there was one in Ellis. And if you've ever gone and seen their facilities, they may need them just as worse as others. Got voted down.
Mm-hmm.
Shot down. There are a few out in southwest Kansas. I forgot the towns. I think Ulysses might have been one. Don't quote me on that. It got shot down. There was another one that passed. If you go east, Silver Lake, just last November. So this is only a few months ago. I think I have it here because I came across it last night. I was doing a little bit of research. And let's see here. Let me see if I can find it. It was, according to the information I have here in front of me, it was a bond, $16.3 million bond issue. The Beloit one was 16.2 for question one, 3.8 for question two. So that was going to be $20 million total if both passed. Silver Lake was able to pass theirs. Now, they did it in a little different way in regards to, you know, obviously they had different needs, so forth and so on. And theirs was a 3.75 mill levy increase over 30 years. The Beloit one was going to be over 25 years. And question one was going to be a 13.5 mill levy increase. And this question two is a 3 mill levy increase. And there was some sales tax stuff that was involved here on the Silver Lake bond, whereas the Beloit one was, if I'm correct here on saying this, was all property tax. So there's different ways. And I don't know all the details as to, you know, what is the best route to go from a bond perspective? If you know what you can do from a sales tax perspective, a property tax perspective, a combination of both. I don't know any of that, but I do know that Silver Lake passed theirs. Now, me, as if you want to sit here and kind of step back and try to take yourself out of the equation, I think it would be a very interesting, and this is just an example. The only reason I bring this up is because it's a similar amount of money. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sitting here and I'm wondering to myself, what did Silver Lake do? And why were they successful in getting theirs passed? And why was Beloit not successful and, by the way, not even close to getting it passed? And I was asked by tons of people, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? And I'm like, you know, I think question one is 50-50. I really did. I thought question one could go either way. When I was asked that question, too, I said, you want my honest opinion? Yeah. I said, I don't think it has a chance. That doesn't mean I didn't vote for it or I voted against it or voted for it. It doesn't matter how I voted. I was asked, what's my opinion? And I kept my opinion to myself because I didn't really feel like I should be talking about any of that stuff to try to sway anybody because, you know, I think you have the right to do your own research. Mm-hmm. You can look it up. You can decide what you want to do. I knew which way I was going to vote on question one. Question two was one I considered way more. And so question two, I didn't think I had a chance and it didn't. It lost by 71-29%. So overwhelmingly the people voted against it. But question one was a surprise for me because I thought that had a chance. I thought it was 50-50. Some people told me 60-40, they thought it was going to fail. It ended up being 63-37. And so am I surprised or shocked that it was voted down? No. Am I surprised at the margin? Yeah, I am. Because sometimes you hear a loud group of people and you say, does that represent the majority or the minority? And you've heard the old saying before, the silent majority and the loud minority. I wondered if that was the case here.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't. The votes prove that.
Yeah.
And so this is a loud and clear message, whether people want to accept this message or not. And I'm not, once again, I'm just hitting people with
these
are facts.
Yeah.
These are facts. The message is very clear by the voters that voted. And that's the great thing about our democracy. This was a mail-in ballot, or you could drop it off at the boxes there north and south of the courthouse. A lot of people took the time to vote. It meant something to them to vote. It impacted, or they felt it would impact them, whether it was in a good way with all the renovations and things that were going to happen if the ballot questions had passed, or they wanted to make sure that they voted so their taxes didn't go up. And here's another thing. And I think, and this, there's been a lot of fingers pointed at the no side, okay, in regards to various things. Once again, maybe it's warranted, maybe it's not. I don't know. I know there's misinformation by various people. And I've heard it from both sides too. But one of the things I think the yes side is going to have to be very careful about right now is painting a picture that everybody's against the school because it got shot down. Or people don't value our schools because they voted no. That's not what that's the wrong message you're taking, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As I talked with this person that came in the studio and we had a healthy discussion, and I really admired him for coming in to talk. And I don't think there's any doubt he was voting no on it. In fact, I pretty much know he told me that. But here's what he said. He said, I'm not against paying higher taxes. He said, and I can stomach it more than other people. He said, I just can't vote for it the way it is. He said, if it was done differently, maybe if there was less stuff in question one, maybe if it was restructured differently and it was maybe part was question one, part was question two, instead of 16 million and then 3.8, 16 million on the first question, 3.8 on second question, maybe if it was about 10 million on question one and question two was, you know, 5 to 8 million. Maybe question two still would have failed, but question one would have at least passed. And because there is nobody that I've heard yet that says HVAC is not an issue. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's going to cost a big chunk of money. So what you try to do, and I do think that the yes side, and by the way, I was confused by something. It's like people that are promoting this and wanting this to pass, why don't they just come out and say, vote yes? I mean, that's what you want. There was something weird about that whole thing. But anyway, you wanted people to vote yes, and you wanted to do all of these things. And there was nobody saying that the HVAC isn't something that they need to have done. The question was out loud, and I'm just sharing what people told me. I had people that were for question one, were against question two. I had people that were for parts of question one, and were going to vote question one, but still had the reservations about part of what was in question one.
Yeah.
And I had people that were for parts of question one, in particular HVAC and even the ag shop, but had a problem with some of the other stuff. And of course, ultimately, the biggest problem for some people was, how much am I going to pay?
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the people I talked to, they told me, they said, listen, there is a misconception that we are completely against everything that the school is trying to do. That's not true. We just feel like it's too much to bite off and chew right now based on the economic situation. Obviously, we've dealt with inflation. There's already high taxes and the timing. If you had bumper crops the last 5 years, record crops, I think the morale would feel better.
Oh, yeah.
I think maybe you would have had a better chance. But And you know, if somebody says this was bad timing, and I said when I very first heard it was going to go out there, I thought, ooh, I don't know about the timing. But in fairness, I'm just sharing openly with you. That was my first thought. That didn't mean I was against it. Doesn't mean I was for it. I was just like, oh, okay, well, man, you know? And it's not like you can control the timing per se. Some people have said, well, this should have been out there a few years ago. Well, hindsight's always 20/20. Some people said they should have waited another year or two. Well, you could argue they waited already too long. Yeah. So we can go back and forth until the cows come home on all this. But here's what my main point I want to get across to people. Each one of us has a right to cast our vote, yes or no. And if you're going to think less of people because they voted yes, or you're going to think less of people because they voted no, or if you're going to get your panties in a bunch and you're going to boycott a business, even though you've done business with that business for a long time, and you're going to suddenly cut the cord because you don't like the fact that that person's in favor of something, you've lost perspective. Because Dusty can have an opinion. I can have an opinion. One of us could be on the no side. One of us could be on the yes side. Does that mean we can't talk about it in a friendly manner? Does it mean we have to pull out a whole bunch of stuff or try to bend the information to fit our rationale and our agenda? Does it mean we have to get spiteful? Does it mean we have to put down people? Does it mean we have to point fingers? Does it mean we have to yell at each other? Does it mean we have to suddenly cut the cord when we've dealt with people that you thought were your friends? Well, let me tell you something. If somebody cut the cord with you, whether it's tied through a business and you also had a relationship with that person over anything political, they were never your friend in the first place.
No.
They were a fraud. I'm going to call a spade a spade. If, you know, we heard the Emporia coach the other day say, listen, they don't want me here. I don't want to be here. Why do you want to be somewhere you're not wanted, right? Why do you want to still be friends with somebody if they're so willing to cut the cord because of what you believe in? I understand cutting the cord with somebody that will continue to push their agenda and won't listen to your side. I understand cutting the cord there because what's the point, right? But cutting the cord just because you hear that such and such is for this and you're against that, and you never even talk about it or discuss it, that seems to be a pretty big extreme jump in the wrong direction. That's just me. And in small town America, that is a cancer. Small town America is dying in some situations. We see schools closing. We see schools consolidating. We see people not coming back to small towns. I mean, all I got to do is look where I grew up in Dusty. I mean, that used to be a 3A school, used to be 11-man football. Now it's 8-man football. Enrollment is lower, so forth and so on. And, you know, how many businesses can you get to your town? You've got to attract businesses to your town. What attracts businesses to your town? There can be all kinds of factors. What attracts people to move to your town? Well, opportunity, right? Part of the opportunity is obviously a job opportunity, but the other thing is, if you have a job opportunity, let's say it's in Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, Downs, Lincoln, Sylvan, it doesn't matter where. If you have a job opportunity and you have another one to consider, a couple job opportunities, what do you need to do? You need to weigh the pros and the cons. You need to go say, okay, is this a town I would want to live in? Or, oh, this town has higher taxes. This town's much lower. I can get a house for much cheaper here for the same amount of house and land as I can get over here. I'd pay double. Or here I can go and I've got lower taxes and I think this school's just as good as the other. Or the school might not be quite as good, but I save so much in taxes, I'm going to go this route. Or I can get a house that might cost me a little bit more, but you know what? It's going to be worth it because the schools are way better now. That town. These are all things you think about when you have opportunities. You weigh the pros, you weigh the cons, at least you should. And sometimes the con can be your school is falling apart. Sometimes the pro can be your school is pretty kick-ass awesome and they've renovated a whole bunch of stuff and they are at least ahead of the curve. And a con can be my taxes are too damn high, and a pro can be, man, my taxes are lower than most people's. All of that stuff can be true.
Yeah.
But I think the underlying message for me in regards to, and there was other things that are thrown out there. There were some people that like, they just want field turf. Jesus Christ. Field turf was part of question two, which was not part of question one. But yet people throw on social media that it was all about the field turf. It's like, man, can't help you. I mean, just read the information. It's not even the first thing on the list. It's down further on the list. And you know what? You could still vote question one and quote down the field turf on question two. There are people that were riled up about the cost of a press box or the number that people found. And I understand that. Shoot, I sit in the press box every time I do a game at football, or Dusty does for track and field. Does that press box need some adjustments? Oh, there is no doubt about it. That is a walking time bomb in regards to the stairs and everything else. It should. Hey, I'm just going to be quite honest again. That should have been updated, fixed, renovated a long time ago. And I think at some point it will. I mean, it will have to be. It might not be to the level that people wanted it to be, but there can be a fix for that to make it better that won't cost as much as what people have read about. Will it be as nice as you want it to be? No. At the same time, when you put together all these numbers, they have to make sure there's enough on this bond that gets passed to cover all the things and all the projects. So they did shoot high on the numbers, because if you shoot too low and this thing passes and then it costs more to do these things, you've got a big problem.
Yeah.
So they did shoot high on the numbers. And that's part of the whole bond process. I don't have all the answers. I don't know enough to tell you all the significant details of this or that. I will say this. I appreciate all of the people that worked hard, that spent a lot of time, that didn't get paid for it, volunteers. I appreciate all the people that fought for this bond. I appreciate them doing what they did, because you know what? My kids go there, and I appreciate them trying to do what's best for the kids and for the school. Doesn't mean I agree with everything that they said. Doesn't mean I disagree with everything they said. But I appreciate all of them trying to make this happen. Okay? And I appreciate the no side of the people that were reasonable, that would listen and would talk about these things and ask questions that really were pertinent. And I appreciate both sides if they did their research and handled things in a civil manner. I appreciate them. I appreciate all those people. If you did a lot of research to say, listen, this is a really bad idea, we need to go back to the drawing board, that this is not what we should be voting on, it should be a scaled down version or a different combination of version. You know what? You can get that across without screaming and yelling. Okay? And, you know, I will say, you know, they tried to put out as much information as possible on the yes side. I call it the yes side. People say, well, kids, you know, whatever. We know that what they wanted, obviously. So, because that's what it comes down to, is yes or no. You're either going to be for it or you're going to be against it. There's really no black and white on that one. There was no maybe box to check, okay? Maybe a contingent on, if you take this out of question one, I'll vote for it. No, it was yes or no. Pretty simple. Check the box yes, check the box no. And that's how your voice can be heard. And as I talked with this person that came in the studio, he said, you know, we don't have to be yelling and screaming at each other. We don't have to have this horrible political discourse that we see across our country. He goes, why can't we talk about it like civilized people? There's no reason we can't. And if we know each other well enough, why can't we sit down, have a beer, and talk? And I thought, you know what? You're so right.
Yeah.
But yet, so many people, and there were people, once again, on both sides of this issue. And I think it happens in many situations. This is just the example I'm using. It was the local one with Beloit. It can be any school bond issue for the most part. Now, there's extenuating factors, and you could call it complications. I don't think there's any doubt that you having two schools in Beloit made things a little more complicated. I don't think either side's going to argue about that. And if you do, wow, I don't know what to tell you. But there's other schools that, you know, like, for instance, you know, Ulysses. I don't know if they have two high schools, and I doubt it. No, you know, Silver Lake, I know, doesn't.
No.
So maybe that was part of why it was easier to pass, was that you don't have another school to, you know, and I don't want to say this in a bad way about the other school, because you have your right to, you know, you live in a town, you have two schools. Your kid can go to this school, your kid can go to that school. That's your prerogative. Do what's best for you. And if you feel like you're not going to benefit by your taxes going up to pay for something that you don't think you're going to use, you have a right to vote no. You know, we go back to the pool. The pool was built in Beloit. I thought that was something that needed to be done. I was a staunch supporter of that. Now, I still, to this day, and I know the original plan was to be off the highway, and it should have been. But in order for it to get passed, there had to be a bit of a compromise, and that was to keep it down at Chautauqua Park. And it has been terrific for my family and kids. We saw way more people start to come to the pool because it was actually, we updated it from the 1920s. But that did cost money, right? And still is costing money. But it was something I think you needed to do to have an attraction for young people to come to your town and families. Schools, entertainment, things to do. You know how many times I hear my kids say there's nothing to do? I bet everybody has that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what else I hear? There's nowhere to eat. No, there's actually, Beloit's got quite a few places to eat compared to towns their size. It's just that you get tired of the same options over and over, which I do too. I get it.
Who wouldn't?
You say
it's just the way it is.
Right. You hope there's like, hey, there's a new restaurant. Let's check it out, right?
I got tired of eating at McDonald's on my lunch break every time when I was in high school, but it's like, it was.
That was my option.
There's three options here, and you're going to get tired of all of them if you have a lunch break every day.
Right. So I understood why people voted against the pool, because if they, for instance, if you're an older person, had no kids or grandkids that lived here, why did you want your taxes to go up? I would understand. Now, maybe you understand the bigger picture. You want your town to stay vibrant and so forth and so on. But there are some people who voted against it because they're like, there's nothing in it for me. I'm not going to go to the pool, which I get. You know, if you had an initiative to build a new golf course and you never golfed, why the hell are you going to vote for a golf course? Now, if you sit here, and Seneca did this when I was up there, they built a golf course, and they were like, hey, we're going to get a lot of property taxes, a lot of houses are going to go up in and around this golf course. And now look, 17, 18 years later, it's a successful golf course. There's a lot of houses that are there. Somebody had a vision, and you know what? That's helped that community without question. But there are people that were against all that, and why wouldn't they be? If they didn't want to buy a new house, they didn't want to be out there, and they didn't care about golf, why the hell would they be for it? And I get it. You know, there are things that I voted against that I don't think I would benefit from. And maybe that's being too selfish. Maybe you should be going like, well, I might not get to go to the pool. I might be too old to do the pool. I am tired of giving up more of my taxpayer money. But I want a safe place for the kids to go. Or I want people to bring in their families so this community can continue to thrive and grow. Another way of looking at it is, I'm going to die in 5 years anyway. So I don't care what happens to this town, right? There's so many different ways you can look at things. But at the end of the day, this is what's the good part about our democratic process, all right? We live in a democracy. Thank God we live in a country, and I hope to God it doesn't change. Or if it does, I hope I'm 6 feet under. Is that we were able to vote. I was able to vote. Now, there are some people I understand. And if I'm wrong, somebody can correct me, but there's some people that taxes would be affected that have farm ground or agricultural land that were not able to vote, if I understand it correctly. Now, that, to me, does seem unfortunate. I could understand some frustration there if I had no, at least I have a voice of voting, but if I didn't, I can understand that frustration, if that's all true. But at the end of the day, 2,248 people voted on question one. 2,241 people voted for question two. And the yeses were 37% on question one and 29% on question two. The noes overwhelmingly won this thing by a landslide. 63% for question one was no, 71% for question two. So now the question is this. Where does not only Beloit and USD 273, where do they go from here in regards to addressing the issues that they need fixed? But this is not just excluding, this is not inclusive of just Beloit. These are issues that every school in small towns, and even bigger towns too, but in small town America, every school is going to deal with this at some point in time. It's inevitable. You're going to have to upgrade your infrastructure. You're going to have to fix things. And things are not getting any cheaper, as we all know, right? So, and, you know, we have to replace our bridges eventually. We got to fix our roads, right? Sometimes not as much fixed as we'd like them to be. But we've got to keep up. And if you don't keep up, people will leave. Well, if you charge too much money in taxes, they'll leave. That both things can be true. Both things can be true. And so I think a lot of people that I talk to, too, is like, I just want to be over with. Well, here's the thing. It's not over with. This bond issue's over with right now. The questions have been voted on. But it's not over with for USD 273. Now they've got to figure out what's their next option. What's their next plan? And there have been many schools that have bond issues that have been shot down. And sometimes they got to go back two, three, four times to the public and go reconfigure. And it costs a lot more money, even more money, to keep doing this over and over. But eventually, I think it was Inman, if I remember correctly, I read a lady was responding to some comment, and she said, I think it was the third time was a try, or it was some school district in Kansas, that it took them three or four times in the course of 10 years to get it done. And that person said, imagine how much money would have saved if we got this approved the first time.
Yeah.
And that's true, but I don't know how they reconfigured things to where it did get passed. And you know what? You could have this exact same presentation 10 years from now. And if the economic landscape is better and farmers are doing great and there's plethora of moisture and businesses are coming to these towns, it might be the other way. It might be a resounding yes, and it might be the same presentation. Sometimes timing is part of it, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So for me personally, I'm surprised at how big the margin was. I feel for those that put in so much time and effort to get these questions passed. And I appreciate those people for doing all of that work, because they didn't have to. And the fact that they did means they really cared about what they were trying to accomplish. And I appreciate everybody that took the time to vote and go have your voice be heard by mailing in your ballot. And I appreciate all the people that did things in a civil way. For those of you that lost your minds and were not civil, I can't say that about you. And only you know whether you were in that realm of civil or uncivil. But the one really bad thing I took out of this whole situation, and once again, it's not just our area, I'm sure it happens everywhere, is the divisiveness that some of the things cause, some of the friendships that are strained or even ruined or done, or maybe were never friendships in the first place. Those are the things that bother me. I really upset that this thing didn't get passed. I'm not super upset about it. I will tell you, full disclosure, question one, you can yell at me all you want. Question one, I voted yes. Okay? Question one, I voted yes. But let me tell you something. People may just assume that I immediately said yes as soon as they're going to put it on the ballot. No.
Yeah.
I've talked to Dusty about this.
Everybody researches stuff if they're doing it the right way.
I was like, I want to learn more about it. And I did feel like some people that it maybe there would have been, maybe if it was put together a little bit, you know, different things with question one and question two. Sure, I thought like anybody else that we could do this or do that. You're always going to get second guess. It's like a coach. A coach gets second guess. Anybody that puts anything together, especially if it doesn't, you know, doesn't succeed, you're always going to get second guess. Hindsight's 20/20. It's the easiest thing to do in the world is revisionist history. Like, we should have done this. We should have done that. Well, yeah, but you can't change it now. But it does lend itself again to what's the next step. Where do you go from here? When these school bonds don't pass, and there have been multiple ones in the state of Kansas that have failed. This isn't the first one. Do you go back to the drawing board and put something else together and have another ballot and question or questions? Is it a go to the polls? Is it a mail-in ballot? What time of year do you do it? Do you wait a year or two and let things calm down? Can you afford to wait a year or two? Or do you say, we're not doing this anymore? We're not, that was our one shot. We tried it. And now you got to go to plan B or C, which is what? Fundraising? Okay, I know how much the HVAC costs. That's going to take a lot of time to fundraise that money. At least I believe it will. And that's just one piece of the puzzle here. So there's a reason why you were trying to get the money for the bond, because you don't have the money to do it in the first place.
Yeah.
That's the whole reason you asked for this money and have a bond issue question. And so I think a lot of people out there are probably relieved it's over. You at least have some closure to whether it's going to pass or not. But there's still a lot of stuff that is not closed in regards to the fact that this went no and no. There are a lot of things that still need to be addressed. Whether you voted yes or no for this thing, whether it passed or not, there's a lot of things to be addressed, and especially so because it did not pass.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really speak on this a whole lot because I don't live in Beloit, so it's not something that I studied a whole lot, because I knew I didn't have to put a vote in on this. But there are things that you look at and read about and see on there that are like, well, okay, I see this and I see this and I see that. I know this needs fixed. And just from personal experience with me out at the football field, right, at Trojan Stadium, are the things that I know about, right? Like, I've been in that press box. I've seen what's actually going on underneath. One track meet I was at, there was a pipe that burst in the men's bathroom, and there's water all over the place. And it's like, well, those are some things that might need fixed, right? And it's pretty clear. And so those are the things that I know about that I know, you know, need some fixing. There are some other things that I think, like anybody else, would be like, well, what do you need to have that on right. there for? But again, I don't speak much on it because I don't live in Beloit. It's not my community. It's not, I'm not the one that's voting on this. And I really do believe, and like you say, if there are people that are affected property tax wise that don't live in Beloit, then there's an issue there. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But there's some of that stuff that I've not done enough research to know if it's true or not.
Right.
Like, there's some stuff about property taxes all over the county that I read, but I don't know if any of that's true.
Right.
So I don't comment on it. Right. Like, I don't go into it, and I'm mm-hmm. not going to. But what I can tell you is that I have seen this actually in my life of bond issues where I went to school, where I grew up. And it was the late 90s. It was my freshman year of high school. In Waukini, they had a bond issue to build an entire new school. It was going to be out where the vet. If anybody is familiar with Waukini, it was going to be out where the Veterans Cemetery is right now in that area. Right. I don't know if it would have been the exact same spot, but it was going to be in that area. And I can't tell you how many people, and I'm going to guarantee you, my dad was one of them. If that school was good enough for me, it's good enough for my kids. And so there was so much of that out there. I just remember it, right? And I kind of, to an extent, I kind of agreed with that because I didn't think we needed a new school, and I would have loved it if we had a new school. Right? It'd have been fun, right?
Right.
But there were definitely some things in our high school that needed fixed. But again, they shot big, right? They shot, let's just do a whole new school.
Right.
Let's get a new school in an area that's easier to access, right? Closer to the highway, to the interstate. You can get there quicker, and it's a better spot, better place in their mind, right? Voted down. And I don't think it was particularly close. I'm pretty sure the no to that bond issue was fairly high. Just a few, maybe 4 or 5 years later, they did a different bond issue.
Mm-hmm.
It included, let's build a new gym. And mm-hmm. I don't think a whole lot of people would disagree that we needed a better gym.
Oh, yeah. They needed a better gym back when I was there. That
so
was in
it's
the Stone
like
Age.
Build it instead of playing in this hockey rink.
That's what it was called.
Let's play. We call it the pit. Instead mm-hmm. of playing in there, let's have a gym. And they obviously did some other things with that. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just a gym. And that one passed. And mm-hmm. we got a new gym. Fortunately for the people that were younger than me, they actually got to play in it. It was my senior year of high school is when they did that. And so I never got to play in the new gym. But it was cool to go back. And it's cool to see that gym right now.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see some of the renovations that have happened at the school. Some things look different. But again, that was you know, a decision and something that was based a little bit around sports, what we're talking about here too. So you do. I think communities are going to have to go through these types of things, and, mm-hmm. and if it doesn't work out, you change it. You get a different course of action. You figure out what are the most important things here, probably, and then you dive into that and see what else needs to be fixed, and then you move forward from that point.
There was somebody that said at one of the meetings, well, I didn't have AC when I was in school, and I survived. Oh, dear Lord. You are part of the problem.
First of all,
have you toured the Beloit schools? Because as my wife points out, somebody, you just open windows. When you don't have windows and they're a brick wall and you don't have AC, what are you going to do? Punch a hole and escape like you're in jail? What the hell? There are no windows in certain places where you get the air if there's no AC. Well, back in my day. Well, yeah, well, back in your day, you crawled butt naked in a snowstorm up a hill 18 miles to get to the summit where your school was. We all know that's true. Like, and so you mentioned your dad. Well, it was good enough for me. It was good. Should be good enough for you. It's like, yeah, you're old, and that was 40 years ago when crap falls apart. Almost said a really bad word. Crap falls apart. Okay? That new car you bought 20 years ago, I'm guessing it doesn't run as well now. So think about if you applied that in real life. Well, if that school's good enough for me when I went to school, it's good enough for you. Okay, Dad. Well, is that car that you have that's now at the junkyard, is that good enough for me now? Why aren't you still driving it, Dad? Why'd you get a different truck, Dad? I mean, come on. If it was good enough for you in 1970, it should be good enough for you in 2024. Well, that's different. No, wait a minute. No, no, no. You went to school in 70. You just said, if it's good enough for me when I was there, it'd be good enough for you when it's there. And by the way, we didn't have AC in school. We survived. Well, you know, I'm guessing that you had indoor plumbing, but your parents at one point maybe didn't have indoor plumbing. And I'm sure they said the same thing, and you probably disagreed with it, didn't you? Well, we didn't have indoor plumbing back in the day, but so if we didn't have any, then you don't need any. It's called technology. It's called advancing. It's called keeping up with the times. It's called moving forward. Stuff falls apart, people. If nothing ever fell apart, there'd be a lot less businesses and a lot less stuff ever constructed. Things fall apart. Even your own body falls apart. Okay? So some of the asinine comments that some people made, it's like, do you listen to yourself? That doesn't even... What, you're so far off, and it's like, why are you even at these meetings? We already know how you're going to vote. That's the thing that cracked me up about some of the stuff. Like, these, it's great to have meetings, but if you've already decided you're against it, or you're already decided you're for it, why attend? There's no why are you just attending to stir the hornet's nest? Why do you attend the meetings if you've already decided you're voting no, or you're voting yes? There is no reason to go to those meetings, except to do what? You're curious and you want to share gossip?
I
rock the boat. That's exactly right. I think the biggest thing that I heard about this particular bond issue, and I had a couple of people that texted me here during this conversation, and it's what caused me pause before I voted. And like I said, it took me a while to look through this. I gathered information on it, so forth and so on. But I think one of the biggest things, and that's what this person said, they walked in the studio with me. Once again, he said, I'm not against voting yes for something. I'm not against my taxes going up. I could probably handle it just as well as other people, or better so. But he said, I just think it's too big. He goes, I just think it's too big. I think there's too much. And I think that's what a lot of people, I would guess, I don't know this, but I think if you would actually be able to, you know, poll all of the people that voted no, and this is just a guess, I don't know, I'm going off of the people I've talked with, okay? I'm a small percentage of people I talked to out of the 1,425 that voted no. But it would be interesting to ask those 1,425 people, were you going to vote no matter what? Or did you vote no because it's just too big and you would love to see something else presented that wasn't quite as big? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Because I don't know.
I think that's the exact thing I'm talking about with ours
right,
and Waukini.
At Waukini.
Like, I will vote for this, and I think the people like my dad that might have said something like that, and you know, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, if it's good enough for me, it's good enough for them. I think what they mean is we don't need a whole brand new school out here.
Right.
We can renovate what we've got and make this one better.
Right.
And that's what they voted for.
Right.
And so, yeah. 100%, I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, and
that's why the second one passes and the first one doesn't.
Right, at Waukini. Yeah. Right, right. And so I think that's where we have to be careful from both sides. And well, first of all, the no side, you know, if they're acting like there's some kind of competition and they're gloating and bragging that they won, then that's not what this is. It's about you lost track of what was important. And if you're on the yes side and you're really disappointed, now you're mad at people that voted no, and don't immediately label everybody that voted no as if they're against schools and against education and that they don't want things better for the community. That doesn't mean that no vote, that's not what that necessarily means. Now, for some people, it might be. But I think a good chunk of the no vote is come back with something that's not so pricey. Come back with something a little bit more lean and let me consider it. You know, when you go to a boardroom and somebody presents an idea, right? If you're in, you have a conference room, you have a meeting room, whatever business it is, you know, if you're in the construction business, I'm sure, you know, you go in, you're trying to bid for a job, right? And you're trying to beat other people for a job. So if you can do the same job and do it a little bit cheaper, then you might get the job, maybe, right? But if you go in there and then you do get the bid, okay? So they're like, all right, cool. We'll come up with two or three different designs of what we can do with this project. And then you come back and you say, okay, you're all excited, right? You're the architect. You're all excited about what you put together. You're like, man, this is a home run. And you go in front of a whole bunch of people. You make your presentations on PowerPoint or whatever you do. And you're so excited. You're just like, man, this is a home run. And you think it's just going to go great. And then they sit there and they look at you and they say, well, we're going to have to scale back here. Come back with us with this. Come back. It's a great start. Come back, and we need you to scale back here. Maybe scale back here. We like to add here. And then come back, give us another presentation, because we're looking more for a little bit different than what you presented. Now, are you going to go put your tail between your legs and go home and cry to mom that they didn't like your presentation? That's not what that means. It doesn't mean they didn't like your presentation. What it means is that they want something different than what you thought was perfect. And so now what do you need to do? You go back to the drawing board, right? Okay, you go back to the drawing board, and then you come back to try to get the job done, to finish the project. And so you may come back and say, okay, I've made this change, and I got this. Hey, that's terrific, but there's one more thing we need you to do. Oh, hell, I got to go back a third time? Yeah, you do. If you want the job, you do. So you go back a third time. You make this, you come back, and they say, you know, that's exactly what we want, but our budget has changed. Oh, hell, I got to go back a fourth time. So you go back, you do this other stuff, because now you got to cut back and figure out how I can fit the budget. Okay? This is just a hypothetical. The point I'm trying to make is sometimes you got to go back to the drawing board 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times to get something right. You know, I was watching the video that Kansas put out, the University of Kansas. They're building the brand new football stadium. I was fascinated by this, not because whether you're a KU fan or not. I think if you're just into architecture, which I'm not, but I found it fascinating. I can't imagine what architects thought of it. Contractors and everything else, I'm construction workers, whoever, they were going through the behind the scenes of, they said they have to make thousands of decisions every day on how they're going to do this, this, or this with how they're building a football stadium. And I'm sitting here and my mind is blown, and I'm not even a part of the process. Like, how do you coordinate all that? How do you do that? You don't think that multiple times this company talked with the University of Kansas, once Kansas chose to use this company to build their new stadium, you don't think there's multiple times that the University of Kansas and their people said, okay, that's great, but that's going to extend us too much budget-wise. You're going to have to nix that. Or come back with something in between. Of course you do.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happens with a bond issue. If you don't get it past the first time, does that mean you give up and never try again? Well, that would have to be the decision, the people that have to put in the time. If they are worn out and don't want to ever do it again, I don't know what plan B is then. Is it fundraising? Is it? I don't know what it is. But in many cases, as you just pointed out so well, Waukini is an example. Like I said, there's another school that did 3 or 4 times before they got something passed. You may have to go back multiple times to get something done. Will it be the everything encompassing perfect one that you wanted initially?
No.
No. But it might be a compromise to where you get, you know, 2/3, half, 3/4 of what you wanted. And it might not happen right when you wanted it, but you could still get it accomplished. And I think that's the thing that worries me about this situation, too, is if you have so many people that burn bridges or ruin relationships, I would think that's going to make it even harder to come up with that compromise if things have gotten too bad in this situation.
Yeah, for sure.
That worries me as well. And that's the divisiveness that we talked about. Treating people with respect, right? Well, you might not get what you want. It might not have gone the way you wanted. You can talk about taking the high road. You can complain until the cows come home, but it's not going to change. Whether you take the high road or you complain until the cows come home, it doesn't change the result of already what's happened. That's the past. Now the question is, the question right now isn't, what did they do wrong to not get it passed? What did they do right to get it nixed? No, the question you should be asking now is, where do we go from here? That's the number one question now.
Absolutely.
And it's no different than if you're trying to, you know, build a bathroom in the city park in a small town. You're renovating Bill Burke Field down in Salina. This came in higher cost than you expected. And so you got to go to plan B or plan C. Maybe you have to re-present it to the city council. Many times the initial plan and idea is not what ends up being enacted or used. It's usually something that's got variations or could be a completely different looking product. And so I am fascinated I'm kind of excited in a weird way, but I'm kind of fascinated in seeing where they go from here after that. But there is no doubt, nobody can deny this, that it was a resounding win for the no side and a resounding loss for the yes side. And now, and that is a, and I, you know, that's a clear message, whether you like the message or not. It is a very clear message that we got some work to do if we want to try to do something again with a bond ballot or put it on the ballot. Maybe you don't. And once again, what do you do if you don't? I don't know. I'm not smart enough to figure it out.
Yeah.
I just want people to understand that I don't hold anything against anybody personally in this whole situation. I mean, I've heard things from various sides, both sides, by the way. There's not just one side I've heard from. I've heard from both sides. I understand points from both sides. It's some of the same things I went through deciding how I was going to vote. Eventually, I came to a conclusion how I voted. And that's your right. That's your right. That's the country we live in. That story is posted with the results. If you missed it, katycountry94.com. But once again, thanks to everybody that put in the time to do the research, have it as good an educated vote as they could. Those that tried to put all the information out there so it was transparent. I appreciate all of those people. And just because it failed doesn't mean you're bad people. And just because it failed doesn't mean you're a loser. It just means that perhaps it has to be a plan B, or it has to be go back to the drawing board, or you know, make it leaner. I don't know what it is, but we'll see if people want to spend all that time again and do that.
Yeah.
And if they don't, then I don't know where they go from there. Bill Self knows where he wants to go, and that is way further in tournament than last year. That in 30 seconds.
I'm Elijah at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. When your vehicle has a problem or needs maintenance, Kiever Brothers is your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Whether you need tires, brakes, batteries, belts, hoses, air conditioning, a transmission, engine, or just an oil change, there's only one thing you need to remember. We fix everything. Kiever Brothers Automotive delivers fast, friendly auto repair, and we fix everything. Find us just south of the courthouse in Beloit and online at KieferBrothers.com.
All right, so Bill Self said this is not going to happen again, what happened this year. And he's doing his best to prove that true. As one of the top players in transfer portal this offseason is committed to Kansas, Wisconsin transfer 6'7" wing A.J. Storr will join Bill Self's squad after one season with the Badgers. Storr was a second-team All-Big Ten pick after averaging 17 points and 4 rebounds. He spent a season at St. John's in New York before transferring to Wisconsin this past season. He's jumped around even in high schools and now colleges. Storr played arguably the best basketball of his career in the Big Ten tournament. He led Wisconsin to the tournament title game. 30 points in the quarterfinals, 20 in overtime upset of Purdue, who went on to the national championship game, 24 in a loss to Illinois. He had back-to-back 28-point efforts against Michigan State and Nebraska. After a season in which KU lacked consistent shooters and playmakers on offensive end, Coach Bill Self has completely revamped the Jayhawks perimeter group already. Storr is a third transfer addition for KU. He joins South Dakota State and Summit League Player of the Year Zeke Mayo, Florida's Riley Kugel as well. Mayo was a Summit Player of the Year, as I mentioned. He averaged 19 a game. Kugel has NBA-level potential. The Jayhawks still remain in the mix for Alabama transfer Ryland Griffin, who played in the Final Four this year, is a good player. And they could still return All-American center Hunter Dickinson, who has 1 year of eligibility remaining. I go back to the last time we had Brian Haney on the show after KU was eliminated in the tournament. And I asked him about the portal, and he said, shooters, 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 and more shooters. Yep. And they're not done. I think they're going to add another one. And the other thing that Brian made very clear is that he expects Dickinson back. There's nothing indicated that he's going to leave. So, you know, this story, if he chooses to return, I don't know if there's a deadline for Dickinson to make that decision. I'm sure there is at some point.
Yeah, there.
But he's not going, if he's not going to the NBA, he doesn't, I mean.
No, he's not leaving.
If he's not going to the NBA, then he's either transferring to another school for one more year or he's staying at Kansas.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a deadline on that. But I, from all of my sources, Dickinson will be part of this too. So this Kansas team now, once again, I know last year it was like preseason number one, and then you had Arturo Morris dismissed, and you had this issue, you had that issue. Johnny Furphy could still come back if he doesn't like what the draft people tell him. He could come back, and you're like, okay, well then Kansas, do they really need to find another shooter if Furphy comes back? Well, you don't know. And then if you go get another shooter and then Furphy does come in, does one of these guys they picked up say, wait a minute, we thought Furphy was gone, now I'm out again. Marcus Adams changed his mind multiple times last year. So maybe you don't even get these guys you think you do because one of them might change their mind after if Furphy comes back. I will say this, though. The happiest person on the KU basketball team, in my opinion, with these pickups, has to be DeJuan Harris.
Yeah.
DeJuan Harris is not an offensive player. He's not a guy that's going to score. And he was in a position this year where he kind of needed to increase that, improve that, and he just not that type of player. And that's not meaning he's a horrible kid. Doesn't mean he's a horrible player. He's an outstanding player, but he's a pass first. He's a old style prototypical point guard. Distribute, set your teammates up. Great defense, get steals, make good passes. Occasionally shoot the open shot. Occasionally drive. Now he won't have as much pressure because he missed a lot of floaters this year, and I think it's the pressure he put on himself. And how could he not? He's going to be more relaxed. If he has guys, he can kick it to Zeke Mayo, Riley Kugel, A.J. Storr, and Johnny Furphy if he comes back. Dear Lord. I mean, Harris could just have an unbelievable year next year because he's got more around him. All you got to do is look back. They won a national title. Harris had a heck of a year. He had some guys around him, didn't he? Two first-round picks. And David McCormick was pretty good, too. Obagi and Brown are first-round picks, and Brown's doing very well with the Nuggets. And now, you know, last year, he didn't have as much talent around him, didn't have good outside shooters, and Harris struggled. It goes hand in hand.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to have dudes. If you're that kind of point guard, you've got to have people that can help you out.
Right.
That's just the way it is. You know, we're not all going to be a, you know, I compare, you know, a lot to Tony Parker, right, because he was one of those that was young and came out and could do a lot and actually was a score first type of guy. And then you've got your DeJuan Harris's that are going to need other people to step in and step up. And if you don't have that, then yeah, he definitely, you could tell, was putting pressure on himself and taxing last year.
No question. After having yesterday off, the Royals are back home tonight. Started a 3-game set with the Orioles. Both teams are in second place in their respective divisions at the moment. Royals are 12-7, a game behind the Guardians in the Central. The Orioles are 12-6, half game behind the Yankees in the AL East. Alec Marsh will start for the Royals. He's 2-0, ERA of 4.32. Dean Kramer of the Orioles will be on the hill, 0-1, ERA just under 5. 6:40 first pitch tonight at Kauffman Stadium. Yesterday, the National Hockey League approved the move of one of their franchises. The team now formerly known as the Arizona Coyotes, or Coyotes, will be moving. Can I just stop for a second? This sounds really, really silly, but Coyotes, I think, is a wimpy way of saying Coyotes. Coyotes. Doesn't that sound more manly? To me, that's manlier. More manly, manlier. Yeah, what's the proper grammar? Like, Coyotes to me is just a hard, strong word. Coyotes. Coyotes. It's like you're at a musical or something. Coyotes. Coyotes. Where the Arizona can't wait. Those Arizona Coyotes are pretty tough. I'm not scared of the Arizona Coyotes. That's just me. I grew up with it being Coyote. It was always Coyotes.
Coyotes, like, that's just what it is. The only my brain automatically goes to Wile E. Coyote if I hear the word Coyote.
Well, there you go. That's all that backs up my whole argument.
Exactly.
If you're thinking Wile E. Coyote, come on, he was a wimp.
Yeah. I mean, that's all I think about when I hear the word Coyote.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm with you.
It's the Weskin Coyotes, Kansas Wesleyan Coyotes. Like,
yeah,
it's just what it is. It's how I've said it, and that's how we said it.
Anyway, the Coyotes or Coyotes will be moving to Utah, and they'll begin play as a new franchise next season. I don't know if they're changing their last name or not, but maybe they should.
Yeah, they're it's going to be a whole new thing.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure it's going to be a whole new name,
like a brand new franchise,
like Seattle Kraken, right? Like,
yeah,
it's Las Vegas Golden Knights. It's going to be
okay, completely
a new
different
franchise.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Well, it was like Seattle SuperSonics went to Oklahoma City, became the Thunder. They weren't the Oklahoma City SuperSonics.
Yeah.
Ryan and Ashley Smith are owners of the NBA's Utah Jazz and a couple of people I love to meet and become friends with. Bought the team and its assets for $1.2 billion with a B, dollars. Originally, the Smiths were looking to the NHL for an expansion franchise, but they became a solution for the Coyotes, who couldn't find a long-term arena solution in Arizona. Now, there are people in Kansas City that have used this as an example, saying, see, this is what could happen to the Royals. First of all, there's a sports talk show host in Kansas City that, to me, it's almost fear-mongering. And getting everybody all riled up, and it's like, I guess there's clickbait and there's radio station listening bait.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, these are two completely different situations. First of all, two different sports, and nobody was really working with the Coyotes to keep them with a new arena in Arizona. Obviously, Kansas City's been working and trying, and it's just not even comparable. It's not even comparable to what he put out there. And then he said it's an eerily similar situation. No, it's not. Now, does that mean the Royals won't eventually move at some point? I'm not saying they will or they won't, but what's happening in the NHL with the Coyotes or Coyotes going to Utah doesn't have a damn thing to do with the Royals. The Stanley Cup playoffs are set to begin tomorrow. The Hurricanes host the Rangers at 4. The Bruins welcome Maple Leafs at 7. So here are the matchups in the playoffs. It's Dallas, I guess, the Vegas Golden Knights, in round one in the West. Winnipeg against Colorado in the first round, along with Vancouver and Nashville. Edmonton will take on the LA Kings. On the eastern side, Florida against Tampa Bay, the Bruins of Boston against the Maple Leafs of Toronto, the Rangers of New York against the Washington Capitals, and Carolina Hurricane take on the New York Islanders. And so let the playoffs begin for the NBA officially tomorrow and for the NHL officially tomorrow as well. And I'm just saddened, and I'm just going to say that there will be not nearly as many updates about the Stanley Cup playoffs this year on the Sports Ticket because my team did not make it. But I'm wearing the shirt proudly today, one of two that I own. Not one, because I'm not a bandwagon guy. If you're a bandwagon guy, you wear one. If you're a true fan, you wear eight. Okay, so I'm not a true fan. I only have two. But the point being is I'm wearing it. They finished the year really strong with a win yesterday. I feel confident that the momentum of that final regular season game will propel them all the way through the offseason and in the next season and all the way to hoisting the Stanley Cup trophy in their fourth season. Year two was amazing. This year, a little bit of a regression. Kind of like the fan club I tried to get going. But we'll try to proceed and get better going into next year. So I guess I will cheer for the Avalanche. Even though that's a team in Denver. But I kind of cheered for the Nuggets last year, even though a team in Denver. There's no Kansas City NBA team. There's no hockey team. So I think reluctantly I'm going to cheer for the Colorado Avalanche, although they won it a few years ago. Do you have a dog in the fight? Do you have anybody that you kind of like, hey, or you just say, I want the team that I'm betting for to win?
Non-reluctantly,
you don't bet on hockey
for nobody.
You bet. You don't bet. You don't do the FanDuel app with the over/under for goals in a period in hockey.
I've never done a hockey wager in my life.
Darn, man! You need to start doing that. Like that's everybody knows that the smartest bettors in sports gambling bet on things they know nothing about. Yeah. This is your opportunity. You just said you don't know anything about hockey. This is your chance. Okay, take the Knights and put all your money and everything you own on them to win the cup. You won't regret it. As I wink to, you know, negate what I'm trying to say. No, don't bet that money. No.
I'm a Kansas City Scouts fan.
Okay. All right. Rock on.
Who are no longer in existence even when I was born.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
that's how I feel about the NHL.
I get that. You know, if you're a Kansas City Kings fan, you should be cheering for the Sacramento Kings tonight in the NBA play-in game. I'm guessing most people will not. All right, so hope you enjoyed the show today. A little bit different show with what we were talking about. You know, like I said, that bond issue did have a connection with sports and facilities and so forth and so on. We don't expect you to agree with everything that we say on this show. That's, you know, just like we don't expect everybody to vote yes or no. I mean, that's what you do as an American. You have the right to your opinion. You can voice it. Now, you know, I like to see people voice things based on factual stuff instead of completely out of left field and making stuff up, even though people said exactly what they meant to say, and somehow people heard something completely different and then accuse you of something. No, that's not the way I want to be going here. That's not the way. But if you actually truly listen to what we're saying, I think you understand that we understand why people would have voted yes for this thing. We understand why people would have voted no. And so to be continued with all of that. We hope you have a terrific weekend, and we will talk to you again on Monday.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.